900 AM and 96.9 FM present Candidate Forums 2017. Brought to you by George Grow & Sons Roofing, ESB Financial, Geotech, and Holiday Resort. And now Candidate Forums 2017 on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. All the information you need, live and local.
Good morning and welcome to Candidate Forums. I'm Scott Hayes on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, audio streaming on the desktop player at KVOE.com and on the mobile app. This morning, our second of four candidate forums, we're going to be talking to the four candidates for the Emporia School Board, USD 253 Board of Education. We have two incumbents, Mike Crouch. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you doing, Scott?
Good. And Doug Epp.
Good morning.
And two challengers. We have Melissa Ogilby.
Hello.
And Iona Moore.
Good morning to you.
Just to go through the format, and if you've tuned into Candidate Forum before here on KVOE, you'll be fairly familiar with it. We'll start with an opening statement. We have a list of questions compiled by the KVOE news staff. And towards the middle of the hour, we will open up the KVOE Valiant Fiber Optic Studio line and the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line. If you have questions for your candidates, then we will take those at that time. We did a random draw to set our order and before the show. So for opening statements, we'll start with Mike Crouch, then Iona Moore, Doug Epp, and Melissa Ogilby. So, Mike, you have 60 seconds for your opening statement.
Well, Scott, thank you for having us here, and I just want to thank KVOE for doing this. It's always great to be able to be here and talk about the good things going on in Emporia. And you know, a little bit about myself, I was born and raised here in Emporia and went to school in Emporia Public Schools, and I've been on the Board of Education now for 12 years. And I have two sons that have graduated from Emporia High School and a son and a daughter that are still in the schools, one in the middle school, one at Village Elementary. And so the schools in Emporia have been a big part of my family's lives and have provided a lot for my family. And education's always been important to me, and it's always been important to my family. And I think that we have an obligation to make sure that we can do whatever we can to provide the best educational opportunities for our students and for our children. And I'm very proud of what we've done here in Emporia. Over the last 12 years, I feel like we've done some phenomenal things in this district, and we continue to move forward and continue to be somebody that many others in the state look to as a leader in education. But you know, we can never rest on that, and we have to continue to improve and continue to push ourselves forward and continue to make ourselves better and find ways to provide every opportunity we can for our students to be successful. And so that is why I continue to enjoy being a part of the Board of Education. It's why I'm proud to be a part of that and look to continue to do that in the future.
All right, Mike Crouch with his opening statement. Iona Moore.
I'm Iona Moore, and this is an honor to be able to be here with the others that are running for the Board of Education. And so I just want to say thank you to KVOE for allowing us to be here. And there are many things that go on, and when you get the chance to be a part of something that can help the community and that will help students and teachers and that a group can work together to solve the problems that are needed to be solved as best they can. And I'm looking forward, if I'm elected, to working with a group of people like that. So I also am very concerned about young people. Of the 25 years that I have been in Emporia, Kansas, I have been at the middle school for 15 and a half years, and then I worked at the transportation as an aide. And it's important about students and what's happening with them, and it's also important about teachers and what they go through. So it's an honor to even be allowed to run for this. I had a little occasion. I thought that maybe I might not do it, but then I have had this wonderful neighbor, Bill Ballard, and he really pushed me to run this time, and now it's exciting, and I'm glad to be a part of it. Thank you so much.
All right, candidate Iona Moore. Doug Epp, your opening statement.
Well, thank you, Scott, and thanks to KVOE for having us here. This is always a good time to kind of express our views. My background is I have lived in Emporia now since about 1969 and graduated from Emporia High School. I have three daughters. My wife and I raised here in Emporia. Our kids graduated, of course, from Emporia High School. Two of our daughters have gone to ESU, and so we have long and deep ties in this community. I feel that education's right on the cusp of some big changes. We went through long time with No Child Left Behind, and in some ways it was good, but in many ways we lost some things. And with our new Kansas Can vision, I feel like we have a real opportunity to go ahead and really push our district into the next century and prepare our students for that. And I feel like since there are so many things coming up, I think it's very important. So.
All right, candidate and incumbent Doug Epp with his opening statement, and our final opening statement from Melissa Ogilby.
I just want to say thank you very much for hosting both of these candidate forums. My name is Melissa Ogilby. I moved to Emporia in the fourth grade, and it has been home ever since. I went to Logan Avenue, Kansas Avenue, the middle school, and the high school. Then I decided to go to ESU, and I've gotten two bachelor degrees from there. I have worked at Agler and Gattert Chartered for their 7 years now. I am a partner at Twin Rivers Winery and Gourmet Shop. I graduated with the 25th Leadership Emporia class. I've been on the executive board for the Young Emporia Professionals for several years. I have been on the PTO treasurer at Walnut Elementary for the last 4 years, and this is where my two children go. I started thinking about running for school board about 2 years ago when Kansas started defunding the schools and changing the funding formula. It really angered and concerned me that our kids' education could be in jeopardy, and I wanted to join the board to help ensure that Emporia did the best that it could do with the funding that it had and make sure I was an advocate for the children.
Mm-hmm. All right, Melissa Ogilby with her opening statement. This is KVOE Candidate Forum on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. We do have our four candidates in studio. I didn't mention at the top of the show, there's three seats open on the Emporia School Board, so four candidates for three seats. So that was our opening statements. We're going to get into our questions, and we'll kind of snake through that order that we went there. The first question is basically your goals. What are your top priorities if elected? And we'll start with Iona.
The top priorities should be that we come together to do the best that we can so that we can have the best district that there is to take care of the students and what needs to be done in the schools, as well as the teachers and the things that go on a regular basis. And the funding, of course, is very important.
Oh, we will be talking about that plenty. Doug, same question.
Yeah, one of my top priorities, there are a number. One of them, of course, is going to be recruitment and retention of teachers. We finally have some additional funding, and we're working through trying to we've opened up the IBB process, and we're trying to come to a resolution on what we can do in terms of increasing salaries, and not only for certified staff but also for classified. We also have a number of buildings that are in they are in bad need of maintenance, and so this is going to take a real concerted effort on our part. And then, of course, we have the new KISA accreditation system, which needs to be implemented in addition to the Kansas Can Vision. So we have a long list of priorities. Each of these is important in its own right. And so our goal is to try to meet those challenges the best we can.
Okay, Melissa.
I think teacher retention and also recruitment is a top priority. I think you can end up recruiting less teachers if you retain the teachers that you have a little bit better. I also want to make sure that there's equal opportunities for all the students and that they are able to focus on education and working at school and that they feel safe and have a good environment to do that in.
Okay, and again, the question is, what are your top priorities of elected? Mike, you're last here.
Sure. Well, and you know, as Doug said, there are so many things that we have to really prioritize and look at. But I think right at the top, we have to keep children at the center and the focus of everything we do, because that's what we're all about. And we as adults have to make sure that we always keep that in mind, that our number one priority is to do the very best we can for the students that we're blessed to have with us. But in order to do that, we have to focus on our staff. And whether that's teaching staff, classified staff, you know, everybody that works for us. We, unfortunately, over the last several years, it's been very difficult with the lack of state funding to do for our teachers and our staff what we really would like to do for them. And so, obviously, retention and recruitment, as both Doug and Melissa mentioned, is a really key thing, because if we're not putting the right people in the classroom, we're not going to get the right outcome that we want for the students, and that's critical. And you'll hear me say this a lot, but I say it all the time, that little third grader that's sitting in a classroom somewhere, they have one shot at third grade. They're not going to get it back. And we owe it to them to do the very best that we can to make sure that they get everything they need, you know, while they're in that classroom. And then if you listen to Commissioner Watson talk, you know, it's really impressive that we're looking forward. We're training students now for jobs that we have no idea what they're even going to look like. And so we have to continue to look at, you know, how are we preparing our students for careers that we're not even sure what they're going to look like yet, and make sure that we're placing students in the right paths that they can be successful and raise successful families down the road. So I think those are critical pieces for us.
It's Candidate Forum on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. We have incumbents Mike Crouch and Doug Epp in studio, as well as challengers Iona Moore and Melissa Ogilby. We're going to take our first break here. We have more questions prepared by the KVOE news staff we're going to get to coming into the second segment. We will be opening the phone lines up later on for your questions, as well as the text line as well. Candidate Forum brought to you by ESB Financial, George Groen Sons Roofing, Geotech, and Holiday Resort. This is KVOE. We're live and local.
Here's Jim Wayman, president of ESB Financial.
We're proud to be a sponsor of Political Forums. We always have good candidates with different views, and it's our privilege as Americans to vote for the people who will lead our government into the future. It is our responsibility to be knowledgeable and informed voters. Forums such as this give us a chance to get to know the candidates and their positions better. As United States citizens, we have the freedom to choose our leaders.
ESB Financial, with locations in Emporia and Manhattan. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Keeping your cool under extreme conditions is important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at George Groen Sons. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings, and they're energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. George Groen Sons Roofing and Sheet Metal, 805 East 6th in Emporia. Roofing Emporia since 1918.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Welcome to the neighborhood, Holiday Resort. Skilled nursing care for the ones you love. Holiday, a place to call home. Personal therapy with a gentle touch. Friends and neighbors wherever you go. Like family, that's Holiday. Welcome to the neighborhood, Holiday Resort.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
Welcome back to Candidate Forum. I'm Scott Hayes on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. We have the four candidates for the three spots on the Emporia Board of Education, USD 253 School Board. In studio this morning, incumbents Mike Crouch and Doug Epp, and challengers Melissa Ogilby and Iona Moore. We had our opening statements and kind of got into our questions in the first segment. Later on here this hour, we will open up the KVOE Valiant Fiber Optic Studio line and the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line for your questions. But we're going to go back to our list of questions here, and it's already kind of been brought up. But the Kansas Supreme Court recently ruled that the legislature's latest school funding formula violates the state constitution. So this is kind of a two-part question. What are your thoughts on the back and forth between the court and the legislature, and what are the biggest challenges facing the district in regards to school funding? And going back to our order, Doug Epp, you're first.
Well, this is a continuing struggle between the state legislature, state administrations, and schools across the state. This goes back to the early 90s, and so these court battles, what is adequate, these things have been worked out. Unfortunately, we've had, a very ultra-conservative view of public education. I think the biggest challenge for us comes to getting out our message. Kansas schools traditionally rank in the top 10 across all 50 states. Our funding levels are somewhere around 26th or 27th in the country. We get tremendous value for our tax dollars going into public education. That message does not get out. And in fact, there are other messages that come out that say we're doing just a terrible job. That is not the factual at all. So that message just needs to get out, and it needs to be explained to voters exactly what a good deal we do have in Kansas, especially if you go to other states. Oh, and by the way, all other states that do better than us, they spend more per pupil than us. So that message also needs to be gotten out. Thank you.
All right. And next, to answer the question on the school funding question here, is Melissa.
Well, I wish the state would just fund the schools. It seems like they keep trying to change the formula and trying to skirt around it so that they don't have to fully fund us because they have a lot of budget issues. I am happy that the court found that it was inadequate and unequal. I think one of the biggest challenges is, the teacher salaries, the staff salaries, and being able to pay them and do for them what we want to do. I've seen get hurt because of the budget constraints. I'm also worried about making sure that we don't fall behind in our school buildings, in our technology, in our resources as well, because we're pushing some of those expenses back because we're worried about the money that we have currently.
Okay, Mike.
Well, as Doug mentioned, this battle between the courts and the legislature goes back almost two decades, and at some point we need to put this thing to rest. We need to quit having the back and forth between the court and the legislature, and we just need to step up and realize that funding education is important and it should be our top priority in Kansas. As all of these young people that we're educating are the future of our state, and if we're not educating them properly, then we're doing ourselves a disservice. And although I agree with Doug in that Kansas traditionally ranks very, very high in education, and if you look at that, we're very proud of that. However, if you look back at some of the data, there is a direct correlation between funding and student achievement. And as funding levels drop, student achievement levels drop right along with it. Usually about a year behind, student achievement levels will drop consistently with the drop in funding. And as funding increases, student achievement levels increase. That's not by accident. There's a direct correlation there. And it comes down to the fact that, with proper funding, we're able to put high-quality staff in the classroom. We're able to take care of them as professionals, as they should be taken care of, and we're allowed to provide the things that they need and that the students need in the classroom to be successful. And so I'm very proud of what we've done in the Emporia School District over the last several years and being able to manage through what's been a very, very difficult situation, not just as a board, but as an administration, as a teaching staff, as a classified staff. Our folks have done everything in their power to shield our students from the negative impact of the funding. But we're to a point now where we can't do that anymore. And our job as Board of Ed members is to advocate for our students. And mm-hmm. and we need to be talking with our legislators, and we need to be in Topeka making sure that they hear the message and know that what happens in Emporia is important.
And Iona.
Thank you. And also, it's the same as others have said, that the students should be our first priority. And we realize that the funding is so important, but also what goes on with the students so that they can succeed. And there are some that really have the want to succeed, but they just need a little bit more. So, and the teachers, the responsibility that the teachers have, I know, but if you've ever been in a classroom, a teacher has a great responsibility. And I just would like to say that it's absolutely right that we should have someone at all times in the classroom assisting the teachers, because they need the assistance so they can teach and project, because these are our next senators and presidents and whatever that we have right here in Kansas. So we just need to keep progressing along. And it's getting better, but we need to continue to do as the board is doing. I don't ever knock what's going on, because what's going on is good. It's just that we can do a little bit better.
All right. This is Candidate Forum on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Emporia School Board candidates, Mike Crouch, Iona Moore, Doug Epp, Melissa Ogilby in studio this morning. One of the contentions of the Kansas Supreme Court in the ruling is that 25% of public school students struggle with proficiency in math and reading. So another two-part question, is this a problem in the Emporia School District? And if so, what can the board do to improve this in the Emporia School District? And we start with Melissa.
Yeah, I think it's a problem. I think ideally we would want that number as close to zero as possible. So I think we need to make sure that we are providing enough resources, and that includes teachers and staff, classroom space, resource material, to help them get proficient in math and reading.
All right, Mike.
Well, I think, as Melissa said, certainly it's a problem. And anybody that says it's not a problem is simply burying their head in the sand, because, it's an issue that we have to continue to work on, and it's something that we've worked on for a long time. And I think the approach that we have to take is we have to put the focus on every single student in our district, no matter where they're at educationally. Yes, we have students who are struggling some in reading and math, and we need to do everything in our power to bring them up to a proficient level so that they have opportunities to be successful. But we need to take those students that are already at a proficient level, or maybe even exceeding that, and push them to do better, because they have every one of these students has bright futures in front of them, every single one. We have lots of students in this district, and I don't ever look at a single kid in this district and don't think that they have a bright future in front of them. And so I think our approach truly has to be look at every student and how can we maximize their absolute potential every day.
Iona.
Math, reading, and also I add writing too. But it is important, and it's so important to sometimes if you don't really get the reading part of it, you don't understand the rest of it. So I'm right along with Mike there that all students, I tell them sometimes, you're destined to be great, because all students need the same opportunity so that they can succeed to be the best that they can be. And I know that sometime back at cursive wasn't that important, but then when you get out in the world, cursive is important. When it says signature, and I've helped some with through that, but it is important too on the writing. And then if you're reading, and I see so many good programs, too, where they read to one another, or they have a person that comes in to help students read, which is important, or even volunteers that read with the students, because reading is important. They can't understand what they're supposed to do with the math if they're not getting the reading down pat. So I'm right along with Mike there. We just need to do our best for every student to be the best that they can be.
Doug.
Well, it's a problem not only in USD 253, but it's a problem across the state. In every district, this is a problem. But we have struggled to address this. Again, I think some of the best approaches are to have really good teachers in the classroom and enough support staff, because students that are struggling with reading and math, especially in the early grades, deficiencies are going to really expand. They're going to be greater later on. Now, I taught school for 34 years at the seventh grade level, and I know by the time they got to seventh grade, many kids were really struggling with their math and their reading. And it really leads to lower outcomes, and students get discouraged, and there's a problem there. So I think one of the most important things we can do is to really try to attack this very early in our children's lives. Pre-K education, early primary grade education, the emphasis really needs to be there. And if we can get those kids to attain the best they can so they're not falling behind at those early grades, we'll have much better outcomes later on.
All right, we're going to ask one more question before we take our second break here. How can the district do more to address the teacher shortage, teacher retention? Can kind of tie in that, and we've all hit on this a little bit. We're going to start with Mike.
Well, this is becoming a very, very serious issue, not only for Emporia, but for school districts all over the nation. First off, we are blessed in Emporia that we are the home to one of the best teacher education programs in the nation. And we used to be able to rest on the fact that recruitment was relatively easy because we had the best teachers in the country coming out of Emporia State University. We can't rest on that anymore. We have states coming in from all over the Midwest recruiting our graduates out of Emporia State. And so we have to get more aggressive in recruiting those folks. But it really, right now it starts with we have to retain the best and brightest of who we have. And that means we have to do the best we can to treat them as professionals, pay them what they deserve, make sure that they have the resources they need. But then we also have to continue to look at how can we continue to make sure that when we're recruiting, we're the ones getting the best and brightest coming in here to Emporia, because that's what our students deserve. But even more than that, you know, education and the teaching profession has been under attack for a long time. And it's starting to trickle down to there are less students leaving high school that are interested in going into the teaching profession. That's a problem. And I hear that from some of the folks up at ESU that you know, they're having trouble convincing high school graduates that this is a good profession to go into. That's a real problem for us. And so we've got to take that message down to the middle school and high school level, and we need to educate our young people that, hey, this is a rewarding career, and this is an opportunity for you to impact lives for the rest of your life, and encourage them to look at this as a career. And the recruiting has to start at the 7th, 8th, 9th grade level and help them to understand the value of being a teacher.
Iona?
And it's how important is a teacher? And that's what I said, and it's absolutely right. Young people, even some that have visited with at ESU, some of them have changed from going to be teachers to something else. But teaching is so important, and that the board, we as whoever is on the board, and we should see that our teachers are paid well, and that they're treated, and they have things that they bring before too, and that we respect the fact that the teachers are so important, because a teacher, as I said before, a teacher has a big job. in the classroom. It's 24/7, and they have all that they need to have, and they're doing really good. And also, as Mike said, the person that's in the classroom needs to have the proper training so that they can support that teacher in whatever way that she needs to be supported in.
Doug.
Well, obviously, recruiting aggressively is one of the things that we have been doing for quite some time now, but we've also been trying to retain the staff we had, and I think that's important. Our relationship with ESU is very important to us, and so we try to keep close ties to them so that we can recruit the best that Emporia State is sending out. Also, in addition, a lot of teachers struggle in their first, second year. And so we've tried to support them with a really active mentor program, which I think is very critical. We've actually been hiring interns, which gives us really a good indication of what young students can do. And they are some of our best hires. So we've actually been doing some of that. Also, I need to mention a wellness program. So that's been a very active program. And so those are some things that we have been actively working at to not only recruit but also retain the staff that we do get.
And Melissa.
Of course, I think competitive salaries would be really good to help retaining and recruiting those really good teachers. I think we can do a lot with the benefits and the perks that we offer those teachers and staff as well. I think the administration and the board really needs to listen and be able to support those teachers, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of that so far. I think having adequate classroom time for those teachers, especially those first-year teachers, so that they can teach and get their feet on the ground and figure out what they're doing and how they're doing is important. And we have some really great teachers in our school district. And I think maybe we can show them off better and use them to help recruit some of the other good teachers.
You're tuned to Candidate Forum on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. We're visiting with the four candidates for the Emporia Board of Education, Mike Crouch, Iona Moore, Doug Epp, and Melissa Ogilby. We're going to take our second break. When we come back, we'll get back to our list of questions, but we'll also open the phone lines and the text line if you have a question for our candidates as well. Candidate Forum brought to you by George Groh & Sons Roofing, Geotech, Holiday Resort, and ESB Financial. This is KVOE. We're live and local.
Holiday Resort's therapy department is available to you on an outpatient basis. So when your doctor prescribes physical or occupational therapy, ask for Holiday Resort. Occupational therapist Mark DeJesus has a great following as one of the few certified lymphedema therapists in Kansas. They are pleased to add Cindy Habicorn to their lymphedema team as well. Holiday Resort physical and occupational therapy qualifies for most health plans and handles workers' compensation treatments. Call 340-8310 and ask for Holiday Resort therapy.
Here's Jim Wayman, president of ESB Financial.
We're proud to be a sponsor of Political Forums. We always have good candidates with different views, and it's our privilege as Americans to vote for the people who will lead our government into the future. It is our responsibility to be knowledgeable and informed voters. Forums such as this give us a chance to get to know the candidates and their positions better. As United States citizens, we have the freedom to choose our leaders.
ESB Financial, with locations in Emporia and Manhattan. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Keeping your cool under extreme conditions is important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at George Groh & Sons. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings, and they're energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool.
George Groland Sons Roofing and Sheet Metal, 805 East 6th in Emporia. Roofing Emporia since 1918.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
Welcome back to Candidate Forum. I'm Scott Hayes on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. We have the four candidates for the Emporia School Board in studio this morning. Three seats on the school board coming up in the election on November 7th. Mike Crouch, Doug Epp, the incumbents, Iona Moore, and Melissa Ogilby, the challengers. We will open up the phone line now. If you have a question for our candidates, you can call us on the KVOE Valiant Fiber Optic Studio line. 342-5863. That's 342-KVOE. You can also text us on the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line, 620-342-5863. While we wait to see if we have any phone calls, we'll go back to our questions. The next question is, the district meeting its needs in terms of technology, and how can the district better utilize those dollars? And going back to our order, Iona, you were first.
I think that they're doing a great job in the technology, because there's so many of the young people that have the Chromebooks, which do help them out. Sometimes they need a little extra help in how to use them and how to find the information. But I think that the technology is moving along good. Now, there may be times or things just like in anything else, but at the school, the young people, and some of them are just, immediately, is what I'm saying. And then there's others that need a little more time to learn exactly how to use the Chromebooks and how to get their lessons out of them. But technology is moving along good, I think, in the school system.
Doug?
Yeah, we went one-to-one technology across the district a few years ago, and I think it's been a big plus. We have, I think, a good program. We've got a low amount that we pay for an insurance program so that if the Chromebook gets damaged, that it's not going to be a burden, financial burden, to either students or the district. So that has really worked out well. I think the things that we can do is to continue to expand the role of technology, and especially concerning teacher training. I think that's a critical element of that. I've been in the classrooms all across the district, and I have seen some wonderful programs offered from early elementary clear on up into the high school, and these Chromebooks are being used in really creative ways. So there are a lot of things that we're already doing. Our superintendent just came back from a technology conference I think it was Nashville, and he got some good ideas, new insights, and that just needs to, we just need to continue that progressing forward.
Melissa?
I think the district has been very proactive and not reactive when it comes to technology, which is a plus and a benefit. I think we've done a good job so far. I just want to make sure that we continue to keep an eye on changing technology and make sure our technology is evaluated so that we can stay up to date.
And Mike?
Well, as Doug said, I think we've improved a lot in this area over the last several years. A few years ago, the board made a commitment that we wanted to go to one-to-one devices with all of our students, and it was a very sizable investment. I mean, it was not something that was easy to accomplish, but it was one that the board felt was important for us to provide for our students. And but I think a couple of things that we have to remember about technology is technology is simply a tool. Technology cannot replace good teaching in the classroom. Technology is not going to replace the things that we can do with people. It's just another tool and an avenue that our great teachers have to be able to help their students succeed. And I think Doug hit it right on the head. The other piece of that is providing some professional development and training for our teachers. We can't just hand them technology and expect them to know everything they need to know on how to utilize that in the best way to help students learn. And so technology is ever changing. I mean, probably in the amount of time that we've been here this morning, there's been five new things come out that we don't even know about. So we've got a great IT staff here in the district. We talk a lot about teaching positions, and we know how critical those are. But we have positions all over this district that things don't happen without great people. And our IT staff's a perfect example. They manage, I don't know how many thousands of devices they manage, but it's monumental, the tasks that they undergo. And so we just got to continue to grow and work on that. It's something that's never going to stop. That's a runaway freight train that we just have to get on the tracks and keep going.
Canada Forum here this morning, KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. We do have a caller holding, and we'll take that question now. Good morning. You're on Candidate Forum. What's your question for the candidates?
Well, I'd like to remind the community that Iona Moore has a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, has worked in counseling. She mentors children. And while this might not be strictly a school board issue, I'm concerned about children who come to school hungry, poor, from unstable families. They may be raising their siblings. And what the school system, helped by the school board, can do about issues like this. And when you're talking about technology in the schools, the children who come to school who have not had smartphones from the time that they could use their thumbs, they're already at a disadvantage over the kids that have expensive cell phone plans and 4 cell phones in the family. And it seems that there's a whole segment of education that you have not yet addressed.
Okay. Was that more of a statement than a question, caller? Did you have a specific question there?
I have a question about what can be done about children starting school already behind, and how can the school board help those children? You know, I guess I'm asking, why is the community always asking for food? What can the school board do about getting kids to school on a more equal footing and not having kids behind before they walk in the schoolroom door?
Okay. I appreciate your call. Caller, that actually kind of ties in with one of the other questions here on the list, and so I'll go ahead and ask it. And there's actually two questions on here that tie into her concerns, but we'll go to the how would you rate the early childhood education program at USD 253, and how vital is it to the development of students? Not exactly what the caller was saying, but pretty close as far as getting them ready for school. And there was a little different segment in there. She was talking about some economic things involved as well. And we'll also get to the food side of that as well, caller, here in just a little bit. But we'll start with Doug. As far as the early childhood education program in the school district. You're first.
Yeah, I really think our early childhood program is good, but I know that it is a concern that we are trying to address, and we're trying to look at ways that we can expand and enhance that program. It is critical that we have our students as best we can be on equal footing at the kindergarten level. And so that means that we need to be working with preschool providers throughout the district. Eventually, we will get their students, whether it's at the kindergarten level, whether it's at the high school level, the middle school level, eventually we'll get them. It's in everybody's best interest that they have the best start possible. As far as, you know, going to parents or families that come from disadvantaged backgrounds, we do have an active program. Heather Wagner and Patricia Reyes do a marvelous job of helping those families get acclimated, get their kids involved in school, and works with them in a wide variety of ways. So,
all right. Melissa?
I think the early childhood education program is good. I think it's very important because it does help some of those kids who maybe haven't been to preschool or haven't been to daycare before also get some of that socialization and get the basic rules and beginnings of how to conduct themselves in a classroom.
Mike?
Well, I think the pre-K is a great topic, and it's one that actually over the last year that the board and the district has kind of identified as one of our top priorities, and that we know in order for students to be successful, they need to come into kindergarten as prepared as possible. And the more even playing field that we can put all students on, the better chance that they're going to be successful early on in elementary school. We do a great job at Maynard Early Childhood. The problem we have over there, honestly, is we cannot serve the number of students that we need to serve in this district. We should be serving every 3- and 4-year-old in the city of Emporia School District with programs. Now, the benefit we have is we've got some outstanding private preschool programs mm-hmm. in Emporia. However, those cost money, and families have to be able to afford to handle that. We actually had a study session earlier this year, and I thought this is one of the best things that we have done. We brought in folks from our Maynard Elementary, our Maynard Early Childhood Center, as well as some of our providers from our private preschools. We brought them in for a study session, and we talked as a group about how can we all work together to meet the needs of the pre-K environment. And if that means that as a district we need to provide some training for those private folks, you know, let them come to our professional development, share our resources with them, do things that we can do to make sure that, you know, as much as possible, we're touching every kid as much we can. I'd love to see us expand Maynard and expand the offerings there. I think that's something we should be looking at. We also did something this summer for the first time is, you know, we had kind of a jumpstart kind of thing this summer where we invited in 4-year-old or incoming kindergarten students who had not attended preschool for, I think it was a 2-week session. And our teachers worked with them, just them, in the building for 2 weeks. And from what I've heard, it made a massive difference when they showed up at school for the first time. That doesn't replace 2 years of preschool, but it certainly gives them an opportunity to help see where they're at, see where what gaps they need to fill and what they can do with that. And, you know, in terms of you know, the economic challenges that we have, and Doug mentioned, I mean, you know, we have some programs here. I mean, we know that there's a direct correlation to students that have concerns, issues, and struggles at home, struggle in school. They've got other things on their mind. They're concerned about whether they're going to eat that night. They're concerned about, you know, maybe some situations with mom and dad or whatever they're dealing with in their life. That becomes more important than what they need to be focusing on in school. Food for Students has been a great program in Emporia, and we continue to try to partner with them and try to provide more opportunities for students. You know, we had a deal just in the last couple of years. We opened what we call the Spartan Saver at Emporia High School, and I have to give Heather Wagner all the credit in the world because she's a wonderful woman who does wonderful work in the district. Her and Patricia Reyes both, and they came up with this idea of having a spot at the high school where a student can anonymously go in if they need some food or if they need laundry done or they just need to brush their teeth because they weren't able to do that before they left the house in the morning. Whatever they need, they have a place that they can go that's private and can take care of their needs. I'd like to see us find a way to expand that, expand it into the middle mm-hmm. school and maybe into the elementary schools. I know it's a lot of work and there's a lot that goes into that, but you know, we continue to look at those things because we know that they're important. We have to address those needs for students.
Iona.
And it's important for preschool. And again, Maynard does a really good job at training the young people. I rode with them and sit in the classroom. They really know a lot more than we realize that they learn in preschool. And then it's true, sometimes you get involved because the young people relate right back to you what's going on. And I'm with you. I just started helping on that Food for Students. That's an awesome program. I don't know the one at the Emporia Gazette where I go and work to see other young students from ESU coming to help with that program to pack food. So there are programs that can help the ones that need help, and I'm available. I'm doing several things, but I'm still available as a volunteer to help with programs like that that reach out over the entire community.
Well, can I add one thing,
sure.
Scott? Because, I mean, Iona, you're exactly right. I mean, It takes a village to run a school district. It takes a community, and we all have to be an active part in this. But I want to go back to the teacher stuff we talked about earlier. You never know what individual is going to have a direct impact on a student's life in the building. And it may be a teacher, it may be a para, it may be a custodian, maybe a secretary, but maybe a bus driver, doesn't matter. Somebody is going to have a direct relationship with a student that they're going to feel comfortable coming to and saying, you know what, I have an issue at home. I don't get to eat when I go home. I don't eat all weekend, whatever the case may be. We have to, as a community, we have to, as a group, say, I'm willing to do whatever I can to help those students in the best way that we can.
So, Scott, can I? I'm going to make a little plug here, because we've been talking about a community effort to help our students, and I've been actively involved in the forming the Family Promise of the Flint Hills, which will directly help homeless families and their children, and give them a better, stable start, give them a permanent place to call home. And I know that that's going to benefit our students. So that's one of the reasons, that's one of the main reasons I got involved in that.
Anyone else have a follow-up to that before we go to our final break? This is Candidate Forum this morning on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. We have the candidates for the Emporia Board of Education in studio. We're going to take our final break. We are coming up on the end of time. Candidate Forum brought to you by Geotech, Holiday Resort, ESB Financial, and George Groh & Sons Roofing. This is KVOE. We're live and local.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Here's Mike Kerbs, administrator of Holiday Resort.
We strive every day to provide quality care for our residents 365 days a year. Our staff and our services are second to none, and what we are most proud of, among other things, is our physical, occupational, and speech therapy services. Visit our website at holidayresorts.net to learn more about the quality of care available to you or your loved one.
Welcome to the neighborhood, Holiday Resort.
Keeping your cool under extreme conditions is important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at George Groh & Sons. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings, and they're energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. George Groh & Sons Roofing and Sheet Metal, 805 East 6th in Emporia. Roofing Emporia since 1918.
Here's Jim Wayman, president of ESB Financial.
We're proud to be a sponsor of Political Forums. We always have good candidates with different views, and it's our privilege as Americans to vote for the people who will lead our government into the future. It is our responsibility to be knowledgeable and informed voters. Forums such as this give us a chance to get to know the candidates and their positions better. As United States citizens, we have the freedom to choose our leaders.
ESB Financial, with locations in Emporia and Manhattan. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
Welcome back to Candidate Forums. Scott Hayes on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Our second of four Candidate Forums this morning. As we discuss the Emporia School Board, three seats available. We have the two incumbents, Doug Epp and Mike Crouch, and the two challengers, Melissa Ogilby and Iona Moore. Candidate Forums will continue next week. We turn our attention away from candidates to issues next week. We'll be talking about the industrial use sales tax extension for the city of Emporia on Tuesday, and we'll be talking about the USD 251 bond issue on Thursday. We are running out of time, but we had a text question in. We had one other question that I really wanted to hit on, and then we'll get to closing statements. How familiar are you with the services provided to gifted students in the Emporia School District? Do you feel these are adequate? And if not, what would you do to what would you like to see change? I believe, Melissa, you're first.
I do not know a lot about the gifted program yet. It is something that I am interested in learning more about. I think being able to push students to achieve what they can achieve and push them to strive harder and work harder is great no matter what level they're at.
All right, Mike.
Well, and I touched on this a little bit earlier in the hour, but of course, our gifted program actually falls under our special ed program, which we have a new director of those services this year, Allison Harder, who's doing a terrific job. And our focus has to be on meeting the needs of every single student in the district. And I know that sounds daunting and that sounds crazy. That has to be our focus. Whether it's our gifted students, they're not reaching their potential yet, I guarantee it. There's more they have to offer, and we can push them to reach that potential. We have a whole group of students who are not in that group that's fallen below proficient, but aren't at the gifted, that can be pushed along to do better and greater things. None of them are reaching their potential. I mean, as adults, we haven't reached our potential yet. We can continue to be pushed every single day to get better. So we have to make that a focus and look every student in the eye and find out where we can take them next.
Iona.
And the gifted program is good for the ones that are able to be in it, but they need our attention. They need the attention as well as the others, because they have things that go on with them that are a little bit different than might go on with the others. But I think all the programs are great, but if we just continue to say that each student is great and each student can succeed. One may need a little more help than the other, but they can succeed. And I think as a community and as a board, that when we put students first, regardless of if they're gifted or if they're down, if we put students first, that's important. All the things, the safety and everything that goes around. But the gifted program is great, and I've worked with a couple of young people that's in it. And sometimes maybe the ones that's like in the sixth grade and they're reading at a college level, maybe they could read to the others and help some of the others. You understand what I'm saying? That might help the one that can't read as well to have a gifted student reading to them.
All right, then Doug, your last with comment here.
We have gifted programs throughout our elementary district, but the ones that I'm more familiar with are the ones at the middle school and the high school, and I think we just need to continue to develop those. My own kids, as they went through school, the one thing that my advice to them, especially when they got to the high school, is you take the most advanced classes that you can, and then it'll push you. You'll have to work harder, but you'll get a really quality education. They took my advice. They're smart girls, and they did take my advice. We have continued to expand that AP program in conjunction with Flint Hills Technical College, and we are continually looking at ways to push our best and brightest further along.
All right, we're past the top of the hour. This is KVOE Emporia. You're tuned to Candidate Forum. I am going to get one more question in before we do closing statements. Because the caller we had earlier did bring up kind of the hunger needs in the district, the final question here, the thoughts on the Meal Spot food program and the food trailer, and how can this program further meet the needs of hunger in the district? And we're going to start with Mike.
Well, we've got an outstanding food service program in this community, and we've got some folks working out there that are outstanding and should be commended for the work that they do. I love the Meal Spot idea, and that we were able to do that this last summer. And on top of the Meal Spot trailer, which folks would see out, for several years now, we've been providing breakfast and lunch at two or three elementary schools, as well as either the high school or middle school, open to anybody from the age of 0 to 18 years of age. I think that's a great community service. I think we need to continue to look to expand that. I would like to see the Meal Spot, maybe we need another trailer, but let's find a way to get that into the neighborhoods more, make it more accessible put out some sort of a schedule. Folks know, hey, we're on this day, we're going to be parked here and here, and see what we can do to continue to expand those offerings, because we know hunger is a big deal. Hunger is a major barrier to folks achieving what they need to achieve. And so anything that we can do to help with that, I just think that's being a good community partner and doing what we can in our community.
Iona.
And it is. It's an awesome program. And it goes back to the same thing. A student can't focus good if he's hungry. And, you know, it's important, too, that we continue with that program and maybe take the church van and go pick up some children and take them so that they will be able to be there when they're serving meals. Because it's a great thing. I had volunteered to work, but at the time when I was doing it, I was on the Lyon County Sheriff's Patrol and couldn't go. But I was going to pick up children and take them to the library so they could be there when the food bus was there. Great program.
Doug?
Yeah, I would like to see the Meal Spot program continue and probably enhance it, see if we can expand our offerings a little bit. I think we have a tremendous food service program in Emporia. They do. You think about the number of kids we serve. It's, I think our enrollment is around 4,800 or better. Think about all the meals that are served twice a day in our school across the district. Mm-hmm. That's a remarkable feat. And so just kudos to our staff there.
And Melissa.
Pretty much everything everyone has said before. It is a wonderful program. I'm glad to see it during the summer when those kids don't have access to the school lunch, and so this provides that. I would love to see it expanded, more trailers going out to the different neighborhoods so that it's more accessible would be fantastic. I feel like we have several programs during the school year, like the Food for Students, and Communities in School has just started in some of the elementary schools, and so there's lots of support for those kids during the school year, and seeing more support offered to them during the summer months is great as well.
Okay, well, we have gone past our time. We are going to get in our closing statements from our four candidates for the Emporia School Board, and we will start with Iona Moore.
Thank you so much for listening to us, and I don't know who the caller was. I thank them for putting in the degrees that I have, but sometimes all of that is not real big important. But I do have all the way up to a master's degree. And I forgot to say that I'm married, and my husband pastored St. James Missionary Baptist Church. And I am connected with youth over the state and the district and locally in the church business. I'm co-youth director, state, district, and locally. So I just have a love for children and students that will never change. And so instead of sitting around doing nothing, and there's really, people think sometimes, but there's a lot of things you can do to volunteer in this community. You think, oh, well, I'm just sitting here. There's a lot of things that you can do that don't take much that you can help out in the school system. I'm just volunteering everywhere. Thank you so much, and I have enjoyed this.
Closing statements from Doug Epp.
Well, thank you, Scott, and thanks to KVOE for having us here. I am running simply because I love kids, and I've worked with kids all of my adult life, and I still like kids. And so it's my goal in life to do the very best I can to give the best futures that we possibly can to our students. And so that's exciting things are happening. We're right on the cusp of a lot of very tremendous things in our state and especially in our district. And our new superintendent, Kevin Case, has given us a lot of visionary things to think about and is ready to push us into the next phase of being a truly outstanding district. And I just want to be a part of that.
Closing statements from Melissa Ogilby.
I kind of want to finish up with, I just really encourage everyone to go vote on November 7th. Voting in local elections is very important, and you can really make your voice heard at this level. Please go vote for city commissioner. Of course, vote for school board. Last day to register to vote is October 18th, and advance voting starts October 23rd.
All right, Mike Crouch, closing statements.
Well, again, Scott, I want to say thank you to KVOE for allowing us to be here. This, you know, anytime we can get together and talk about the great things happening in Emporia Public Schools is a great day for me. I have been blessed, and I, when I say blessed, I truly mean I've been blessed to serve on the Board of Education for the last 12 years. I have a passion for children and for education. I think it's one of the most critical things that we have and that we can impact. And something we really didn't have a chance to talk about throughout the questions today. We're blessed in this community. We have Emporia State University, we have Flint Hills Technical College, and we have one of the best public school systems in the state of Kansas. Mm-hmm. We take that for granted all too often. We have to continue to grow those partnerships, grow the things that are strong here, and provide those opportunities for students. That's been a focus for me over the last 12 years, and I look forward to continuing to work that going on into the future. You know, for me, my goal has always been to get the best for every student that we possibly can. And in order to do that, you know, as a board, we have to do everything we can to provide the resources in our district to do that. And so thank you. Yeah, I've been blessed to serve, and I look forward to continuing to serve.
Okay, and that wraps up our candidate forum this morning. Our four candidates for the three spots on the Emporia Board of Education. Melissa Ogilby, thank you.
Thank you.
Iona Moore, thank you.
Thank you so very much.
Doug Epp.
Thank you.
And Mike Crouch.
Scott, thank you again.
Our candidate forum this morning has been brought to you by ESB Financial, Geotech, Holiday Resort, and George Groh & Sons Roofing. Our candidate forums do continue next week as we'll turn away from candidates to issues. The industrial use sales tax for the city of Emporia will be our topic on Tuesday, and the USD 251 bond issue on Thursday. So two more candidate forums coming up next week. If you missed any of this candidate forum, you want to go back and re-listen to it, we will get it uploaded to the audio vault online at kvoe.com. But that wraps up candidate forum this morning on KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
Candidate forums 2017 have been brought